have a final reading, which is the whole of Genesis chapter 15. So we last read the end of chapter 11 and the beginning of chapter 12. We have skipped on a bit to chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in half. And when birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. And behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there. And they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve. And afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for yourself, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Amen. We have seen in earlier episodes in our selections from Genesis that God created mankind to have fellowship with him. We have seen that this fellowship was quickly broken when Adam and Eve chose of their own free will to listen to the lies of Satan, who who appeared in the form of a serpent, and they disobeyed the only commandment they had been given. Mankind increased in wickedness to such an extent that we read back in Genesis chapter 6, "The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart." As a result of this wickedness, God, in his judgment, sent a great flood over all the earth, destroying both mankind and the animal kingdom. But God, in his mercy, commanded Noah to build a great ark, which was then used to save Noah and his wife, his three sons and their wives, along with seven of every clean animal and two of every unclean animal. Yet despite this act of great judgment and great mercy, mankind soon showed that he had learned nothing from this. Within a few generations, they were plotting in chapter 11, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens." And God dealt with that by confusing human language. None of this came as a surprise to the sovereign Lord who made all things. He has had a plan from the beginning to rescue mankind from his plight. This plan involved choosing a people for himself from before the foundation of the world. It culminated in him sending his own son to die in our place on the cross and in raising him from the dead. And it will be consummated when he comes again to gather his own people and to judge those who reject him. And now we see the beginnings of this plan coming about. God chose Abram in order to raise up from him a great nation, which would be God's own people, his own possession. In these early chapters, the man we are considering is called Abram, or at least that's how I pronounce it. I have heard it pronounced Abram. It's not until Genesis chapter 17, verse 5, which is beyond our scope for this evening, that God gives him the new name, Abraham. Abram means exalted father, whereas Abraham means father of many. I don't have much to say about the names at this stage. However, even the name Abram, exalted father, is a little ironic given that he's 75 years old and childless, and his wife is barren, as it says in chapter 11, verse 30. So, Abram was born in Ur in Chaldea. Have we got the slide? Is that clear enough? Abram first travels to Haran, stops there, and then later he comes down to Canaan. So that's just a little picture of what's going on. In the section that we read from Genesis 11, verse 27 through to chapter 12, verse 9, it appears that Abram simply left Ur and went to Haran. While in Haran, God called him. So, towards the end of chapter 11, it tells us that his father Terah took Abram, I'm reading chapter 11, verse 31, Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. And then in chapter 12, we see the Lord talking to Abram and telling him to go to Canaan. However, we know we have the prophetic words of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, which tell us that there is a bit more to it than that. So in Genesis 11 and 12, we're not given the full picture. Acts chapter 7, verse 2-4 says, "The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, and said to him, 'Go out from your land and from your kindred and go into the land that I will show you.' Then he went out from the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran. And after his father died, God removed him from there into this land in which you are now living." So God actually called Abram to leave Ur. So when we find him leaving in chapter 11, verse 31, he has already been told to leave Ur. So God had called Abram to leave Ur, the place of his birth. But why did God choose Abram? Why was he particularly deserving of God's call? It seems not. We read in Joshua chapter 24, verses 2-3. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, 'Long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates. Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many.'" This says that Abram, his father Terah, and his brother Nahor were all idolaters. They served other gods. So why did God choose Abram? For the same reason as he chooses Christians today. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4-6. "He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace." It is right that we look up to Abraham because he is commended in the Gospels and Acts, and in Hebrews 11 in particular, he is held up as an example of a man of faith. Nevertheless, he was no paragon of virtue. When God first called him, he was an idolater. Abram was a sinner, and in particular an idolater, and we know that our God is a jealous God and hates idolatry. Yet God chose him, God called him, God in his mercy calls us today. But what was Abram's response to God's call? In faith, he obeyed. He left his idolatry behind in Ur and settled in Haran. Just a little aside, I've got a little who's who. Is that readable from the back? The pink Terah is the Abram's father. The pink line is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 patriarchs. Abraham has two brothers, Nahor and Haran. Haran is the father of Lot, but he died while they were still in Ur. We read that in chapter 11. So Abraham takes Lot under his wing to some extent. Nahor stayed in Ur. He didn't leave and go to Haran. Terah and Abraham did, and a large entourage. So Abram's brother Nahor remains in Ur in Mesopotamia. We know this because firstly he's not mentioned as one of the party that left for Haran. And secondly, towards the end of Abraham's life in Genesis 24, Abraham makes his servant swear to find a wife for his son Isaac from among his own people. And his servant goes to Nahor in Mesopotamia. As far as I can see, we're not given a reason for the long stay in Haran. I do not detect any hint of disobedience on Abram's part. Sometimes God carries out his plan in stages. Abram has been faithful in leaving Ur at God's command. And now God reveals to him the next step. And the question is, will Abram be faithful again? He is also called to leave behind some of the party that left Ur with him. Chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Go from your country." At this point, he's in Haran, and Haran is now called his country. I guess he's been there for some time. "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." So Abram has been faithful in leaving Ur at God's command, and now God reveals to him the next step. As we leave Genesis chapter 12, verse 9, God has chosen Abram not because he deserved to be chosen, but because of God's sovereign grace. He has called Abram twice to leave where he was and move on. Abram has now left his idolatry and is obedient to the Lord's call. On each occasion, the Lord has told him to get up and go, and he has got up and gone in faith, trusting in the one who has called him In the chapters we skipped over, 13 and 14, I think the main point of those is that Abram continues to demonstrate his faith. He rescues his nephew Lot from four kings who have captured him with a band of 318 men. And he is tempted by the king of Sodom to accept spoils of the battle, and yet he doesn't want those. He only wanted to rescue his nephew. He doesn't fall into that temptation. He remains faithful. And then in chapter 15, we have this covenant that God makes. God has made a promise to Abram back in verse 2 of chapter 12. God actually does make a promise. He says, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God has already made that promise, but now he makes a solemn covenant, reinforcing the promise that he's already made. We're not given great detail of how God spoke to Abram, either at Ur or at Haran, but in chapter 15, here, Abram has a clear vision of the Lord. The Lord came to Abram in a vision, chapter 15, verse 1. And the Lord said, Fear not, Abram. Abram was afraid. The Lord Almighty has appeared before him and speaks to him, addressing him by name. No wonder he's afraid. Abram is promised great reward. He has demonstrated his faith in leaving Ur and Haran, and also in the events in chapters 13 and 14. But I do not think it would be right to say that Abram deserves his reward. It's more of a case that the Lord in his sovereignty chooses to lavish these gifts upon him. The first thing that Abram is promised is many descendants. Remember that he is 75 years old and childless. Nevertheless, in chapter 15, verse 6, it says, And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is confirmation of what God has already told him back in chapter 12, verse 2 to 3. The promise that God will give him a land is also a confirmation of what has already been said. Abram asks for a sign, and the promise is wonderfully confirmed by means of the signs. It wasn't for nothing that the Lord said back in verse 1, "Fear not." When we find this sign in verse 17, had I been Abram, I would certainly have been afraid. The sun had gone down and it was dark. Behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. So, we've seen that God, out of his grace, his kindness, he has made these great promises to Abram. And we shall see these fulfilled. The Lord will fulfill his promises, which we'll look at in future.